Why, Yahweh?
We are reading from a study of the separated name, by Bill Burton. A critique, a study of the separated name. And this is from Shofar Sounds, P.O. Box 1084, Murrieta, California, 92564. Maybe we can give their email here at the end. You don't even know if you want it yet, so wait till the end. It is my purpose to show truth and expose error, and it is not my goal to judge and tear down those who believe differently. Well, we can judge character. John chapter 7, we can judge character, judge righteous judgment, but we cannot judge a person's whether they are saved or not, whether they, you know, like people say, they went to heaven, or he went to hell, or something, you know, but or you're going to hell. But we do not judge a person in that area of their standing with Yahweh, but we can sure judge their, evaluate their character. We can judge by their fruits. And by our fruits we are known as believers. Whether or not we keep Yahweh's Torah is a test right there. And it will help keep us free. It will help free our country, too, from the bondage that we are in right now in the United States Socialist America in the year 2011. Now, why are we saying this? Why are we exposing error? Why doesn't that Stephen Yah just shut up, put down his drink, come out of the bleachers, and roll up his sleeves? Yeah, well, that's what we're doing right now. He's coming out of the bleachers. But why not just write Mr. Burton with our comments? Well, we could do that, but the answer is that Bill can find the answer himself by digging into further research. And you can find the answer, too, on our website here, yahweh.name, by looking at the article, Why the V in Yahweh? Yahweh or Yahweh or Yahweh, the site, YHVH, not the site, but the article there, YHVH. And where did the name Yahusha come from? All these are good articles. They're not the final word. They're as a result of our research. Few people appreciate being corrected, even when the right spirit is being brought forth, but they still don't want to be corrected. Well, I don't know. I think if somebody corrects me in the right spirit and in truth, I think I'm going to listen to them. But most of us, and most of the time, do not like to be corrected. Is that a fair statement? Bill Burton's statements, for the most part, are great and to be commended in the book A Study of the Separated Name. In fact, I would suggest getting that manual that he put out here. Okay. Are we to believe the Jews, who according to their Talmud instructs them to disguise his name? No. Yahweh says that we should publish his name. We shouldn't believe everything that any Jew, any sect of the Jew, or any man tries to teach us when it disagrees with the word of Yahweh, when it disagrees with Scripture. I sometimes disagree with a few of Mr. Burton's conclusions. Oh, good, let's hear what they all are. If you can't have anything good to say about him, then for... Now, let's hear it. Well, I think we need to, you know, go into the book and tell about some good things here as well. The importance of his name, the meaning of his name on page 15. Then he's using Exodus 3. That's Exodus chapter 3. Okay, why the tradition of surrogates for Hashem? Key of knowledge, the curse upon those who ignore his name. Found on the Separated Name book, page 20. Adding and taking away from his word. Oh, I want to do that. I don't want to do that. I want to read that part here to you. Sacrificing, also on the same page. Surrogate names used in Christianity and Judaism. Pagan names, page 22. And then there's El, Elohim. There's Baal, Adonai, G-O-D. G-O-D, the invader, and L-O-R-D. We'll be discussing those. through page 29, a conspiracy to hide Yahweh's name. I don't care for the word he's using here, for the name he uses, I-A-U-E, conspiracy to hide. But there are some people who do use that name and who believe that it's the right name. You know, I think we need to do a little bit more research, though, on that area. And why not read the article here that we've found about the Messiah, about Messiah's name? You know, where did the name Yehosha come from? Where did the name Yahvehosha come from? Where did JC, or Jesus, where did that come from? Why not read those articles? Thanks to all of you who have. And I'm sure there's other sources. You don't have to come to me to find out. And I don't have the final word. What is the correct pronunciation? A source of confusion, the rest of the story. Well, pronunciation is not everything. Of course, it's the actual spelling of his name that's more important. But I'm sure that Bill Burton covers that as well. Well, I'm very sure. Hopefully. What about the name Yahweh, says? And then talks about the diacritical marks. Evidence for the W. Disguising Hashem. Three forms of Hashem. The missing Hashem means the name. Simply means the name. And, I would use Y-A-H-U rather than I-A-U. And I would use Yahweh rather than Yah. You look to page 48 for more teaching about that. So let's go to page 21. What was that on 21? The adding and taking away. Since my last broadcast, I quoted the scriptures off the top of my head, but I didn't really read them. Adding in, I like this. Let's see. He says, they feed on the sins of my people and relish in wickedness. I will punish both for their ways. Hosea 2:16, if you will see that they, that's us, the northern 10 tribes, they were substituting Baal for his separated name. And Yahweh tells them that they will no longer call him by the name of Baal, but shall call him Ishi, my husband, and that he would take the names of Balaam, Baals, out of their mouth, and they shall no more be remembered by their name. Adding and taking away. The tradition of substituting another name in place of the Heavenly Father's name is adding and taking away from the Scriptures, and is condemned in at least five places. Deuteronomy 4 and Deuteronomy 12:32. Moshe gave Yahweh's commandment, you shall not add to the word which I command you, neither shall you take away from it. Proverbs 30, the prophet Agur states, add thou not unto the words, lest he reprove thee. Thou be found a liar. Jeremiah chapter 26 says, diminish not a word. And the Messiah, in the very last and one of the most important warnings of the Scriptures, Revelation 22, states, I warn everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds anything to them, Yahweh will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. And not just in the book of the Revelation. And if anyone will take away, although that would be more than enough, all the plagues there. If anyone will take, seven plagues, will take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, Yahweh will take away his part from the tree of life and out of the pure city and from the things which are written in the book. These are extremely explicit warnings that no one should take lightly. You know, we should note that all scripture is given to us by the Messiah, from Genesis to Revelation. That he spoke face to face with Adam. The Messiah, the son of Yahweh, actually, spoke face to face with Adam, with Moses, with Abraham. If we look at the book of John, it says in several places there that no man hath seen the Father at any time, nor hath seen his shape, nor heard his voice at any time. Ezekiel 22 warns us that he that offers to any other mighty one other than Yahweh alone shall be utterly destroyed. That's Exodus 22:20. I was reading Ezekiel. Micah 4, for all the nations will walk in the name of their Elohim, but we will walk in the name of Yahweh forever. When most people are shown Exodus 22:20, they say that the scripture only applies to the older scriptures, as we don't perform any offerings now, as the Messiah was the ultimate offering, according to Hebrews and Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10. It's absolutely true, as far as we are not to perform any blood or animal offerings or burnt offerings, which were offerings for sin. Except the animal offerings never really took away the sins of the people, but instead reminded them of their sins. Hebrews 10:3. They are also a shadow that pointed to the Lamb of Yahweh, who takes away the sins of the world. John 1:29. And the Lamb of Yahweh, that's Yahusha, who was slain from the beginning of the world. Revelation 13. His one offering took the place of animal offerings once and for all. Hebrews 10:12. However, and you could look that up if if you don't know what it is. I've read it so many times. But I just want to get through this broadcast quickly here. So far we're about 13 minutes in. However, according to the scriptures, we're still required to offer even now. Hebrews 13 tells us, through him the Messiah let us offer up an offering of praise to Yahweh. That's the fruit of our lips, which make confession to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for such offerings Yahweh is well pleased. Romans 12 states that if you keep your body a living offering, set apart, acceptable to Yahweh, which is your spiritual praise, I will offer you, the offering of thanksgiving, and will call on the name of Yahweh. That's from the book of Psalms, 116. 141 states, may my prayer be set before you as incense. May the lifting up of my hands in prayer, lifting up of my hands be like the evening offering. So this is a really good textbook, inspiring, from Bill Burton. Okay, a study of the separated name. But now here's my more critical remarks, more on the darker or the negative side or something like that. Which is negative is not bad. Electricity has right now I can tell that there's a negative charge in there as well as a positive one. So you've got to have both or it won't work. And I suppose that applies even to our faith, that you have to have warnings. You have to have some warnings now and then. So we're going to warn you to be sure and use Yahweh's name and not a substitute. Not what everybody else out there, not what the Catholic Church says, even in their hymnals, but directly as found in the Tetragrammaton, in the scrolls, the Antioch scrolls, where Yahweh is the name. YHVH, or Yahweh, is the name of our Heavenly Father, and his name is in the Son. Yahweh-Hosha, the Son, or Yahweh-Hosha, which is an inspired name, actually, out of the Scripture. Yahweh is inspired because it's in the Scripture. Inspired by the Ruach HaKadosh, by the Spirit. But I sometimes disagree here with this. I'm going to find a lot of problems right now. Let's open a tear it apart. No, not to do that, but just the warning here. Just a warning. Mr. Burton has great research into the pagan origins of G-O-D, Baal, El, and so on, those Canaanite terms. And, why would the Jews even need to use those when they already had the right Hebrew words to begin with? They had Kodesh and Kadosh for our mighty, meaning separated or pure. So why would they, have to use Canaanite pagan terms? They wouldn't. But Burton says, however, I'm not saying that it is inappropriate for Yahweh, but there is a question as to whether it is or not. In other words, he's casting doubt on, whether you can use these corrupted terms anyway, like Baal and G-O-D. Even though they're wrong, I'm not saying that it's inappropriate title for the Mighty One. He uses I-A-U-E, but an appropriate title for Yahweh, but there is a question as to whether it is or not. Whether it is. So that word is there. Let's put that in big capital letters. There's a question as to whether it is or not. Well, it's a word of caution. It's a word of caution there, so we need to kind of back up and take stock and be careful. Walk circumspectly and be very careful. If someone says that something is wrong, maybe we ought to check it out. Why would there be any question about Baal, about using Baal and L-O-R-D and G-O-D? Why, there's not any question. The evidence is there. but, you know, don't confuse me with facts, right? But to be on the safe side, one can use, instead of L-O-R-D and G-O-D, one can use Mighty One in the place of it. It would seem to be inappropriate to use Baal, L-O-R-D and G-O-D. It would be inappropriate to use it for a title for our Almighty, our Heavenly Father, in place of Yahweh. That would be, you know, taking his name in vain. This is especially so when used as a substitute for his name in accord to his word. But Bill said, well, who can really say, you know, whether it's dogmatic or not, whether it's wrong to use these pagan terms. But I don't think there's any question. I just don't use these pagan titles and names, period. Now, in the book, A Study of the Separated Name, it's fairly powerful, but his Mr. Burton's evidence for the W in Yahweh is lacking. References for the W in the separated name are the Encyclopedia Judaic, Volume 7, page 679. Secondly, the New Jewish Encyclopedia, 1975, page 766, under the title G-O-D. It's reference for the W and the separated name, where they use Yahweh. The Columbia Encyclopedia, Volume 2, under the subject G-O-D. The Grote, that's G-R-O-T-E, the Grote Winkler Prinz Encyclopedia, under the title Yahweh. Other evidence is given. The Interpreter's Bible Dictionary, Volume 4, page 923. And Ripley's Believe It or Not. And the category Separated Name, page 35. I don't know if I might discredit that, Ripley's Believe It or Not. Page 35 in the Names book. When compared to the weight of reference for the V, why the V in Yahweh, with, I think we have 24 references in our article right now. And it should be 30 there, but I'm only reading 24 references for the V in Yahweh, as compared with only 6 here for the W. There's bound to be a couple of more, although the greater weight of evidence rests on the V in Yahweh over Yahweh. Greater evidence doesn't always conclusively prove beyond the shadow of a doubt the final word. There is still more evidence to be discovered. But our conscience is going to have to listen to the greater weight of evidence, I think, and go with the V in Yahweh. That's what mine is settled on. Documentation for the W is weak, so is the argument for the four vowels, which would represent as I-A-U-E in English. Now, I didn't prepare that part for this broadcast, but he does talk there in the separated name article here about that Hebrew's only vowels or something. I think it's somewhere around page 19 or 20, but maybe we can do that later. I should at least quote that, so we'll do that here in a little bit, okay? Evidence for the V in the separated name of the Father and the Son are much more abundant, as we saw on this YahvehYahweh.name website. Questionable references in A Study of the Separate Name are points 1 through 4 on page 35. There's no documentation and backing. Another famous but questionable author speaks on page 40, specifically page 44C, which says, maybe we're getting here anyway, by combining these letters we come up with I-A-U-E, which he says that if you pronounce it rapidly, you come up with Yahweh. Where does it say in Scripture that we need to pronounce his name rapidly in order to justify the use of the letters other than Y-H-V-H? We're supposed to be, in other words, he's saying we have to use I-A-U-E instead of Y-H-V-H, the tetragrammaton, and that we should say it rapidly, and then that makes it come out right if we just say it rapidly. That's the exact quote here, 44C. Do you want me to, you probably got your own, dig out that article there in 44C. Let's see, oh, here it is. There it is. Okay. Yes, there it is. The Hebrew long A, sound ah, is a feminine ending at the end of a name. By combining these letters, we come up with I-A-U-E, which he says that if you pronounce it rapidly, you come up with Yahweh. And my question here was, well, what if you pronounced it slowly? Would that make a difference? And I found that. That's page 44, The Missing Linguistic Link, page 44. The late Professor John Green stated the intermediate form of the name, the tetragrammaton, the trigmaton, he says, is the secret, the key, the missing linguistic link to the full form of the name of the Almighty and also to the full form of the name of the Son. It should not be substituted, as it has been in the past, with a consonant, either as a W or a V. It should not be omitted. Not only has the name been suppressed, I agree with that, don't you? The name has been suppressed, but also the wow, W-A-W, as the vowel U sound has been suppressed, he claims here. That I disagree with. As we pointed out before, Jacob O'Meyer, in his study Yahweh or Yahvah, agrees with Josephus. And isn't that somebody who sued another assembly for using the name of their assembly, and he won? And that he shifted around on his stand on the Feast of Unleavened Bread, being not unleavened. The Hebrew long A sound is a feminine ending. Okay, we did that. Okay. However, we have to remember that the Jews from the time of the formation of the Babylonian Talmud starting from the time of the exile in Babylon down to the present, they were under the compulsion to disguise, hide, or substitute his name according to the laws of the Talmud. The Samaritans and the Greeks were not under the compulsion, as they both rejected the Talmud as traditions of man not inspired by the Almighty. So the Samaritans were actually the more noble there. Kind of like the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica, because they studied daily to see whether or not things were so. We can't just make a statement that such and such is so without any proof. Show me. Show the evidence. Prove everything. Prove all things that are important. So, I don't know if you've gotten anything out of that, but page 47, D.O. Dodd, the believer, the tetragrammaton is four vowels, Mr. Dodd said. I can't believe he said that. Tetragrammaton is not consonants, it's vowels. And it's unproven, but passed on through tradition. Amongst scholars, there is not agreement. Well, maybe Dodd is saying that the tetragrammaton being four vowels is unproven, but passed on through tradition. I think. Let's see, page 47. You can see I really researched this well. Mr. Dodd here, says that he gives us examples, words that are pronounced with a vowel used as a vowel sound, not the consonant W sound, as wa, as in water. The example that he chose to use, hallelujah, Yahshua, at Jerusalem, all show the vowel sound of a double O, or long U sound, not the consonant sound of a W as in water. This agrees with the law put forth by the book, a simple approach to Old Testament Hebrew, that when wow functions as a vowel, sounding as a O or U, it does not have the sound of the consonant W as in water. The Heavenly Father's name pronounced as Yahweh meets all the laws of Hebrew pronunciation set forth by Young in his concordance. Oh boy. And also the book published by X Publishers. And furthermore, it agrees with Josephus and the Greek transliterations by the early church fathers. Mr. Dodd, so this statement of four vowels is unproven. Josephus is the stronger evidence, but insufficient. And I read where Mr. Josephus's stand is questionable, or more than questionable, but I can't remember where that's from. Maybe Truth of Yahweh on that website. But anyway, that was page 47. There is not much of a documentation and unsubstantial few references that are not considered credible in the booklet, A Study of a Separated Name. But other than this, it is excellent, as we brought out at the beginning of this broadcast. Mr. Burton mentioning about every aspect in the realm of a believer, I think here. and to turn from using pagan names like El and Lord. Interesting. Let's look that up about Lord. I mean, that's real easy. I mean, that's a no-brainer there. Page 29. Now I think we can quit. Being late in the evening here. What are we doing staying up so late with such a broadcast anyway? Huh? For those who care, that's right. Well, what about the English word Lord? In the first place, Lord, like the word G-O-D, is really only a title that has been used to replace the full name of the Most High 6,823 times. We'll just round it out to 7,000, okay? We'd only be less than 200 short. We'd be a little, not short, but long. The short form of the name of the Most High, Yah, also has been substituted 48 times with Lord, and only in Psalm 68:4 has the short form of Yah been retained as Jah. In the New Testament, the substitution of the Most High's name by the titles Lord and God completely did away with the name of the author of the set-apart scriptures. Yahweh is the author. Consequently, this has caused many, if not most, of the devout praisers of Yahweh, the Creator, to not even know his name. In the majority of the English scriptures, his true name is not even mentioned except in some study Bibles where it is confined to footnotes. So the translators and scholars know the Heavenly Father's name, but follow the Jewish tradition of substituting a title that is used by pagan deities for his name, even though Scripture forbids this. By doing so, they have caused those who seek to praise Yahweh to forget his name for Baal, and I'm using Yahweh. This gentleman is not, Bill Burton, I guess. Just as the prophets in Jeremiah's time caused Yahweh's people to forget Yahweh's name for Baal in Hosea 2 and Jeremiah 23:26. Then it goes into Mr. C.O. Dodd that tells us to look in your dictionary, the Bible dictionary, and you'll see that Baal means Lord, and the synonym of Lord is Baal. Turn to Hosea 2:16 and look in the margin of most study Bibles. They'll confirm that Baal means Lord. Hosea 2 is an end-time prophecy that shows Yahweh will take the name of Baal, or Lord, from his people, and they will no longer call him that name. He then brings out that when you pray to the Lord, you are in effect praying also to Baal, as Baal and Lord have identical meanings and the names are synonymous. Why use the word at all if it doesn't have a meaning, right? Why even call him L-O-R-D? Don't call him anything. Let's all have silent prayer. No. In fact, he shows that since Lord, Baal, Adonai, Kyrios, Hur, and Pan are synonyms in different languages, and they were pagan gods of different nations, then it is definitely wrong to pray or praise, worship the Heavenly Father using their names. To do so would break the first three commandments of the Ten Commandments, where Yahweh names himself in the first commandment and tells us we are to have no other mighty one beside himself. The second commandment, Yahweh tells us not to make an idol, an Elohim, and to worship and serve them, for Yahweh is a jealous mighty one. And third commandment, we are not to bring his name to naught or nothingness, or to falsify his name. A lot of good information. Okay, what's that email? Let's see if I can find it here. If not, I'll just look in my article. Okay, email to shofar@easy2.net. Let me verify that again. And you should be able to get this booklet here. Kind of a 8.5 by 11, large booklet here. Let's see, email to shofar@easy2.net. I'm using easy twice. Wait a minute, is that right, or did I just put that in wrong there? Let's see, shofar. No, he put in easy once. I think that was wrong where I had to easy. Just try one easy, okay? shofar@easy2.net. I don't know, I got two easies in there. Getting too easy here, I guess. Okay, take it out. shofar@easy2.net. And our email, Our email is Stephanyah, that's with a T, Stephanyah at yahweh.name. We pray that, you're blessed. We pray that you'll continue on in Yahweh to seek and strive for Him to be perfect, like our Heavenly Father, to become perfect, for the Yahweh in heaven is perfect. This broadcast was 30 minutes long, a study of the separated name by Bill Burton. This is Stephan Yah. Thank you very much for joining us. Please leave an email comment. That is how we rely on keeping this broadcast going, is whether or not we're helping anybody. And, well, there's other ways to look at it. But I really need your comments, okay? If, don't worry about that I'm going to oppose you and come in, unless you're out to oppose me and attack me or something, and get childish, act like a junior high student. Well, there's good junior high students, so maybe act like one of those great junior high school students that are out there to get ahead, to study, and to, make it a better world or something, That's good. Thanks a lot for joining us today. And Maranatha, may Yahweh come quickly. Hallelujah. Shalom.